Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Okay, praise God. Well, welcome back, Wisdom and Stuff podcast. This is Daryl Boucher, and we are getting into part two of drawing from the Spirit, being spiritually discerning. This is such an important part. This is something, there's parts of this that has changed my life so much over the years. A big key to growth in my life, and I just kind of wanted to help people along the way to not have to walk through the same path that I did in it. But with this, when we're talking about spiritual discernment, we're talking about where we're bringing up in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how the natural man, it says natural man can't receive the things of God because they have to be spiritually discerned. And in the whole context, he is talking about how much the Holy Spirit's revealing to us. But then he kind of flips the coin and he says, well, the other side of the coin of that is we have to spiritually discern those things. And right now, as I've said, there's more revelation that's coming forth, you know, by the Spirit, through the people of God, and just through the prophets and through the Word, more revelation than it's ever been, because, you know, revelation progresses. And so there's more revelation on the earth than it's ever been. But the question is does the body of Christ look any different because of it? You know, is the body of Christ actually bearing more fruit because of it? Is the body of Christ looking more like Jesus because of it? Is the body of Christ actually more holy or without spot or without blemish? Is the body of Christ walking in more authority and power because of it? I don't see the fruit of it. You know, and I'm not trying to say that in a condemning way. I'm just saying it. I don't see the fruit. I mean, you know, there is some good fruit, praise God. There is growth in the body. There is, and I'm not saying there's no fruit at all. I'm just saying there's not nearly the fruit that should be coming forth from the amount of revelation that's coming forth. The amount of revelation should be producing revival all over this planet, and we're just not seeing that. I mean, I'm not just talking about that in widespread revival. I'm talking about in our homes, in our families, in our lives, and in our bodies, in our minds, in our emotions. Personally, corporately, all the way around, we're not seeing the fruit of the revelation. And there's a reason. I believe it's because we're hearing the revelation, and sometimes we're agreeing with it, but we're not discerning it. We're not allowing the revelation to actually come in to the fertile soil of a discerning heart and bear the spiritual fruit that it's designed to bear. And so I one of the keys to this we were talking about last time was just allowing the spirit of our mind to hear the Word instead of our natural mind to hear the Word, because with our natural mind, there's always limitations. In our natural mind, there is that line that we draw from what's realistic to what's not realistic. And you know what? God is God. He is, there's nothing that's difficult for him. There's nothing impossible for him. Literally, even in the Old Testament, they literally had the sun stand still for a day. Oh, actually, it was the earth. We know that. But you understand. I mean, this is, you know, the Red Sea parted. You know, these things actually happened. It's amazing watching the power of God in the Old Testament. It's also amazing watching the lack of power in the New Testament when we are the ones carrying that power with us every day. Anyway, but part of that is because we're not allowing the Word to be discerned so that it takes on a part of our identity. And so there's still a separation from the Word. There's still a separation from what we hear. We will agree with it, but then we'll put it into a class of, man, it'll be nice when that happens in my life. Or, yeah, that's really cool when I get to heaven. You know, I mean, there's this area where we're just kind of putting it on a shelf and we're not disagreeing with it, but we're not discerning it as a part of our life. And so, you know, the discernment, you know, it kind of goes toward digestion, you know, it goes toward the, where we're digesting it as a part of us. We're taking it in. And so, as I said in the first one, you know, when I was getting ready to go to Bible school, I was, you know, because I don't remember how, I was 18 years old, I remember that, but I don't remember, you know, like how far I was out from going to Bible school. I just remember I was getting ready, and a friend of mine, he had already gone to Bible school, and he gave me the advice of, make sure you learn to draw from the Spirit. and as you're hearing, you know, teaching. And I said, yes, that's a great idea. I will totally do that. And I walked away not knowing at all what he was talking about. And so I went to Bible school, and you know, like I said, I was a person of the word, and I enjoyed the classes I was in for the most part. Some of them were very, very boring. But anyway, but at the same time, I really didn't, the way that I drew and the way that I listened wasn't any different. And then about, I don't remember what it was, maybe about halfway through the second year of my Bible school or something like this, I don't remember what it was, but I remember sitting there in class and I'm listening and I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is good stuff, you know, whatever. But I don't remember what exactly happened, but I just made a purposeful choice to draw from the Spirit. And when I did that, I began to hear like I'd never heard before. And it changed everything. It changed everything. And this is something that, you know, when we begin to draw from the Spirit, and this is something we can grow in. This is something that just doesn't happen just one time, or it can, you know, we can do it for a little while, but then we can shut ourselves off for a little while. And, you know, we get to determine that. Paul said it this way. I believe Paul wrote the big book of Hebrews. If he didn't, I'm sure I'm forgiven. But in Hebrews chapter 5, he tells the Hebrew children there, he's like, listen, he goes, I want to talk to you about certain things right now, but I can't, seeing that you've become dull of hearing. So at one time they were sharp. At one time they could receive what he wanted to tell them, but now they became dull of hearing. So that can happen too, where sometimes we can be really sharp in receiving things, and then other times it's like, nah, you know, we've gone back to the natural mind again, and yeah, we're hearing it with our natural ears, but we're not hearing it with our spirit. We're not allowing our spirit to draw things. And one of the things, you know, it's like what I really had to liken it to, and I really began to get a lot out of this. It was like I remember sitting in class, and I remember when I realized I was getting so much more out of the same speakers I'd heard, the same topics I'd studied, you know, it was the same scriptures I'd read so many times, but I began to get so much more. And I remember asking the Lord, I was like, what happened? What's going on? Why am I receiving so much more? I mean, it is like literally my eyes have been opened. There's literally a gate that's opened into my heart. And these words are now coming into my heart. And he just told me, he goes, you learned how to receive spiritually. You learned how to draw spiritually. And I'm like, oh. And it wasn't like I learned how to do it like academically. I just chose how to humble myself in a different way and operate differently when I was listening. And the greatest thing I can liken it to, it's funny because here, you know, when in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul says this, he says, they must, you know, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, so he says that. I mean, let me just read the verse again, because I love the Bible so much. It says here, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself judges no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So that's pretty much where he leaves. I mean, he transitions into talking about, you know, how the Corinthian church can't receive a whole lot, and it's because they're carnal, and because they're full of divisions and strife and envyings and all these other things. And so even in that text, we can see in chapter 3, you know, when we have attitudes of strife or envy or division or competition amongst the brethren or these type of things, critical hearts, that literally deadens our ability to receive things. We're giving ourselves over to a natural mind, and we're just feeding on natural precepts, with, you know, or natural, you know, emotional thoughts, instead of giving ourselves to the mind of Christ that's on the inside of us. But the point of this is that he doesn't give us any teaching on spiritual discernment here. He just says, they are foolishness unto the natural mind, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, okay, I don't know about you, but that doesn't, you know, there's no teaching alongside. He doesn't say, and let me teach you how to spiritually discern. He doesn't do that. He just says, you know what? He goes, he who spiritual judges all things, but he goes, and we have the mind of Christ. Okay. Now, the reason, and this happened, this isn't just Paul, this happens all the way through the Bible, right? This happens all the way through the New Testament. Just look and see all the things Jesus told us to do and never told us how to do it. He never told us how to heal the sick. He never told us how to raise the dead. He never told us how to he didn't tell Peter how to walk on water, right? He didn't tell us he didn't tell him how to feed the 5,000 people. He didn't tell them how to love people and how to forgive people. He just told them to do it. You know, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's a great verse. How do you do that? There's no instruction on that. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we see something that's available. The power of his might's available, tells us to be strong with no, you know, like academic instruction on how to do that. I love how much that's in the Bible. It's all the way through it, where there is things told us to do with no instruction on how to do it. And the reason is because we have the nature to do it. And the moment we make it about an academic thing is the moment we don't understand the nature of the very thing that's told to us. The nature that's told to us, the nature of the exhortation to do something is trying to pull our DNA out. You know, nobody can teach me academically how to be a male. I have that DNA. I just have to walk in it, right? There's not an instruction book that like says, if you do these things, you'll become a male. I don't do anything to become a male. I do everything from being a male, right? And so, the more you just step into those things, the more you basically begin to take actions that agree with your DNA, the more your DNA will actually come out naturally. Okay, but there's things though with these things where just understanding that when we're talking about spiritual discernment, it's no different. I'm not going to be able to teach you how to draw from the Spirit. I can tell you how I walked it out. I can tell you how it felt to me. I can tell you how I humbled myself. But there's not an instruction booklet in the Bible of spiritual discernment, because it's in our nature to do it. And so the very thing that is available in the Word for me to do is the thing that's the most natural for us to do. That's why there's no instruction pamphlet. It's part of our DNA. And so we have the mind of Christ. Nobody's going to tell you how to operate in the mind of Christ. The Bible doesn't tell you how to operate in the mind of Christ. It tells you what operating in the flesh looks like, that's for sure. And it'll tell you the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, but it doesn't tell you how. It says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank you. You know, there's literally no instruction on how to do that, because it's our nature to do it. And there should be encouragement to that. But what happens is people, they get frustrated because they're like, well, just tell me how. See, that right there is denying our nature of it. It's trying to get us to do it from a religious formula and a procedure, a protocol, and making it a steps and a works-based system instead of a nature-based system. When I can just humble myself and say, that's my nature. I choose to do that. I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me into that. I submit myself to the Holy Spirit right now, and I allow the nature of God to come out of me in that area. See, that's the first step in that. When I humble myself to the nature of it, instead of viewing it as something that's a far way off, like a goal I have to attain. These things are not goals. We don't have goals in the kingdom of God. We have a nature we walk in, and the characteristics of our Father that's in us that we steward in the earth. But we don't have goals that we attain. And so when we're talking about drawing spiritually, for me, it was like I had to, you know, I had to make it more about, you know, I mean, really, it's like, you know, you know, when you're in prayer and when you're in worship in these different times, you can feel the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You know, he's in your you know, innermost belly, as it were. He's in the center of your man, of your human body here, and he's in the center of your spirit, and so you can kind of feel him. And when it says deep calls to the deep, he's calling you to that place on the inside of you. The candle of the Lord, it lights all the innermost parts of the belly. This is talking about that your spirit man is not in your chest. It's actually more in the center of you. It doesn't matter, you know, anatomically where it is. But I'm just saying that they're deep down in your gut, deep down in that place, you know, that's where the Spirit will call from you. You know, when you're in worship and when you're in prayer, you know, and when you begin to pray in tongues and you begin to groan in the Holy Spirit, when you begin to pray things out and you know that, oh my goodness, this is the Holy Spirit praying through me, whether in tongues or in English, and you begin to pray, it comes up out of your spirit. It comes up out of you, right? And so, you know, that's the same place that we literally draw from. We draw from that place. Because, well, I had to realize, and I just did this, you know, just as I walked it out, as I realized I'm not listening to the words that are coming out of that person's mouth. I'm listening to the gift of God that's on the inside of them. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit that's speaking through them. But they happen to be speaking words right now, and those words might be really good words, okay? And I'm not discounting the words that come out of their mouth, and sometimes, you know, I'll write those words down and all that stuff. But the words themselves are not everything. You know, Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they're life. They're spirit and life coming out of anointed words. But I have to look for the anointing. I have to look for the Holy Spirit in them. And the part of me that actually identifies the Holy Spirit in them is the Holy Spirit in me. It's not my mind as far as my natural mind. It's not my intellect. It's not my emotion. It's not me just going and wanting a performance from somebody or saying, what can they tell me that I haven't heard yet? Or what can they tell me that it's so profound? That's really not it at all. It's not me going and trying to get my entertainment of Christianity, you know, checked off the box. It's literally me going, okay, man, they have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. I have the same Holy Spirit. And there's going to be a connection here. And I'm going to draw from them. Now, when I do that, it's more like me drawing from the inward parts of me, though. And so I even though it's like twofold, I'm drawing from them. There's like a physical pull that I can feel. Remember when Jesus was touched by the woman with issue of blood, and he says, "Virtue's gone out of me." You know, she didn't even ask to get healed. She walked up behind him, touched the hem of his garment, and she did it with her faith, and her faith drew the anointing out of him to such a degree that it caused him to stop and say, wait a minute, I felt something leave me. Somebody drew something out of me. And this is one of the things we can learn, is that there is a tangible exchange of the anointing. And with this, you know, we can draw from that gifting from somebody else, but we do it as we draw from our own spirit. We don't do it in our mind. Like I said, the best way I could put it, it's like there's a big straw, you know, that's like down in my spirit, and that straw is connected to their spirit too. And I have to like suck on it, you know, spiritually. I'm like drawing it, I'm sucking it. This takes something. It takes like an effort almost, because I'm drawing. I'm purposely drawing. And I'm not like trying to figure out what they're saying. I'm not trying to analyze what they're saying. I'm not trying to decipher what they're saying. I'm in the spirit, and I'm just drawing from the spirit. And it's not like, you know, you're not going to sit there and look constipated in church, you know. That's not it. I don't mean to make light of it, but it's not like some kind of laborious task that you're doing. It's just a very inward awareness of the Holy Spirit in you at that moment, and you're just drawing. And it's like your heart is sucking a milkshake, you know, like a big thick milkshake. And it's not like drinking a soda, you know, that just comes up the straw easily. No, you're sucking on a milkshake that, you know, until you get that thing going, it takes some doing. You know what I'm talking about? Like you're sucking, and it's just like coming up halfway through the straw, three quarters. You can see it coming. You're like, man, I just want it to kind of get, you know, once you get it through the straw, it's just going to flow. But it has to get through that straw first. And once it gets up through that straw, it'll start flowing. That's how this is. This is how it, for me anyway, this is how it really feels. And I know when I'm engaged. I know when I'm engaged just on a very mental landscape where I'm just hearing the word, writing things down, taking notes, being diligent about it. And there's some value to taking notes. I'm not saying that. I love to take notes. But the higher value is when I actually tap into what they're saying by the Spirit. And I have to get, for me, I had to get past some personality issues to do this. Because my biggest hang-up with receiving from people was really their personality wasn't my personality. And so they had a different personality than I had. And so I remember one time, oh my goodness, this was, I don't know, it was a long time ago. Thank God it was a long time ago. But my stupid self from years ago, you know, it's like the spirit of stupid past, you know, my stupid past self. I remember there was one lady that she was minister, and honestly, I had a hard time receiving her because of her hair. I just didn't like her hair very much. I mean, it was like it really bothered me. And I could listen to her on like an audio teaching, but just watching her, I don't know, I'd get so distracted by her hair. I just really, but you know how petty that is? That's so immature. And I remember one time I got offended by Joyce Meyer. I got offended. This was years ago. Oh my goodness, so stupid. Just because I was sitting at a church meeting that she was at, and she's teaching, and she was teaching good stuff. I don't even remember what the topic was, but it was good. And then she says something, and man, it did offend me. No, I didn't think I was offended, but boy, did it offend me. And it was just a stupid thing. And so it was a few years. I don't remember what it was. But when I think of Joyce Meyer, I think, oh, yeah, she has some good things, but she said this one thing. You know, what was I doing? I wasn't holding fast that which is good. I was holding fast that which is bad. I remembered this one stupid comment. And so for a few years later, I would be like, oh yeah, you know, I really think she does great things for the body. But she said this one thing. You know, I mean, you understand, I literally had negated the gift. And this is what the Lord talked to me about with different situations. He's like, do you know how much just stupid offense is putting a tourniquet on how much you can receive? These are gifts. These are anointed people of God. And they might do something wrong. They might say it totally wrong. Who cares? You know, get over it. But don't cut off the gift from flowing into you. You're not hurting them by being offended. You're not hurting them by being, you know, irritated by their hair. They don't even know you. You know, you're just hurting yourself because you're putting a tourniquet on the anointing that's on the inside of them. And so, anyway, I had to learn, though, was like, okay, let's actually begin to draw from the Spirit. And when you do that, now, like I said, you may not, this might sound foreign to you, be like, I don't even know how. Just will, just say, okay, Father, I give you my will in this. I want to learn how to draw from the Spirit. Next time I'm listening to a teaching of any kind, let me just, help me to see the difference. It's a spirit of discernment. I have to discern from my head to my heart. I have to discern, you know, the carnal ways from the eternal ways. I have to discern these things. And as I discern these things, I can hold fast that which is good. And so you just purpose and say, Father, I want to just not listen so mentally. I don't want to listen analytically. I don't want to listen and just look for something I can agree with. I want to look for something that's going to challenge me, but I want it to do it by the Spirit. I want to know what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me personally from this gift that's on the inside of this person. And this is how we begin to grow. But also, the other thing that happens is, especially when we're in a corporate meeting, you know, if you're in church or just at a conference or something like this, and you're hearing the word, when you begin to draw, you literally begin to bring your supply, and it helps the flow of the person that is teaching. I have seen this happen in my life, I don't know how many times. Now, once again, from a teacher point of view, there are some rooms that are just hard to plow. People are not plugged in. They are not engaged. They are naturally and carnally minded, and I might as well be talking to a wall. But some of them are just like drawn like a river. You know, they're just like, whoa. I start saying things I never thought of before, right? That happened a lot of time in school where people would say, oh, can you repeat that? I'm like, no, I don't even know what I just said. Other students would be like, oh, you said this and this and this. I'm like, okay, I know where I was heading with that. But it was something I never thought of before. And it's because they were drawing. They were drawing from the Spirit. They were drawing from the Holy Ghost. And now on the reverse side of that, though, the other coin of that, is the other side of the coin, I've been in church, and I have literally seen it happen in my own life where I, you know, wasn't plugged in for the first, whatever, 20 minutes of a sermon or something like this. I don't know. I was distracted by stupid stuff, or I was just doing whatever, thinking my own stupid thoughts. And then I realized, I came to myself, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not bringing my supply. Let me plug in. And you, right now, it's easy for me to plug in now because I've done it so many times. So I'd be like, okay, let me just start drawing from the Spirit. I just purpose right now. And I just say a little inward prayer. I purpose right now to draw from the anointing. I draw from the anointing of the minister right now. I draw from the gifts and callings coming out of them. I draw like a sponge. I'm just drawing the gift out of them. I'm drawing it. And I just begin doing this in just my own self. And man, I start getting fired up. I start writing things down that the Holy Spirit's telling me. I start writing things down that didn't even come out of that preacher's mouth, but they're coming out by the Holy Ghost, and they're setting me on fire. And at the same time, I start hearing that. I've had this happen so many times where I've heard that person who's ministering shift into another level. They shift into another gear. Now, I don't know if it's just because I did it or because several of us did it in the room. I don't even know. But it just shifted, and suddenly they start flowing. And they start flowing by the Spirit. And you can see it, especially as a minister and as we're discerning things. You can begin to see when people begin to flow at a higher level in the Spirit. And this is what we want. You know, we need to speak spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but that can only happen when you're in a spiritual room with spiritual-minded people that are actually receiving spiritual things. Because otherwise, you're in a room full of a bunch of naturally-minded people that you're just talking to a wall, and they're sitting there going, well, what are you going to tell me that I haven't heard before? Oh, man, what are you going to say? That's entertainment. That's not the anointing. That's not edifying. And so, anyway, I just want to encourage you with this. Man, there is such a higher way to learn, a higher way to receive, because the DNA of God is on the inside of us. And he doesn't need to instruct us how to be children of God. He's just leading us into those steps. And the more we take a step as a true child of God, the more DNA will make it natural for us. So, Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord God, for just teaching us, leading us into this truth. I thank you, Father God, that we can just choose to be the eternally minded ones, bringing our supply, drawing from the Holy Spirit in every situation that we're in. I thank you, even as we're talking to our spouse, as we're talking to coworkers, as we're talking to, Father God, our friends and our family, that we can just begin to, even at the dinner table, begin to draw from the Holy Spirit and just begin to draw from the gifts and the callings on the inside of people. And I just thank you, Lord God. Teach us how, Father God, just to step up into our DNA that we can edify one another like this. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.